Okay, Perek Tes, Pasuk Vav. Izvu Fisayim Vichyu Beishu B'derech Bina. Okay, this is a continuation. The one that is speaking is the Torah. The Torah is speaking. The Torah is giving us advice. And it's telling Izu, telling the foolish people, the Fisayim, the foolish people, they should abandon their ways. There's a silent word in this Pasuk. The foolish people are told to abandon it. Abandon what? What should they abandon? So it's obvious it means to abandon their foolishness, their foolish way in life, vichyu, and by doing so, you will live. The instructions are, you will live if you only listen to me and abandon your foolish way. The issue, and you will be, and stride. Issue, this literal translation of issue means, as the Mitzudot Sion says, v'tso'adu. Kamo v'asher ba'derech libcha, later on we'll have the same expression, where there means as well, it means to take strides, b'derech, on the path of being, of understanding. So it's telling, so therefore, that's what the commentator is explaining, that from the end of the pasuk we learn what the subject of the beginning of the pasuk is. Since the end of the pasuk it says that you shall take strides on the derech of understanding, we could assume that the beginning of the pasuk, when the foolish person is told to abandon, it means to abandon his foolish derech, his foolish path in life. And by doing so he will live. Instead, strive to take strides on the derech of understanding. The Mitzudas Pasuk Vav, Mitzudas Tavid, Izvu, Lezos, Atem, Pesayim, Dirf, Lezos, to this, Atem, you, Pesayim, Izvu, Darkechem, you shall abandon your foolish ways, Vesichyu, and live, Vetzuadu, Me'atan, from now on, from here on in, you shall take strides, V'derech Bina, on the way of understanding. Rashi, Izu Pesayim Vichyu, Esterech HaPisius, the Derech Rashi, Edzim Beferish, the way of foolishness, Veishu, Loshon Pam, it means to step. Yofu Pamayich Bana Olim, how beautiful are your steps in shoes. So it's, and everyone here seems to struggle with the word issue. Your steps, Loshon Pam, Kimo Ba'ashurenu Ech Zeragli, in his steps, I see my feet, in his steps I see my ragli. Okay, also again, there it's also used in the term of taking steps. I happen to see in Rabbi Ginsburg's parish on Mishle, in the art scroll Mishle, he says there in the name of, I don't remember who he says this, in the name of Ishru means also happiness. Ashrei Yoshrei Vesech, a happy and fortunate. So that's exactly what it's saying. This word means really both. It means, so the reason why the Shlomo selected this word, he explains, is because it's telling you that you only really be happy when you travel on a derech of understanding. A person who allows himself to live a life, to go in the ways of the fools, is not going to merit to live a happy life. If you want to have happiness in your life, you have to take strides, you have to walk along the way of understanding. So it's not just to take strides, happy strides. Walk with happiness, with simcha, and that can only come through understanding. Okay, that concludes Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Zayin, Yoyser Leitz. Now we went through a series of psukim where Shlomo is giving advice on how to give Musar. When should a person give Musar? When should a person not give Musar? How should you give Musar? And these few psukim we learn a lot about Toychacha. Yoyser Leitz, Loikech, Loikoloin. A person who attempts to chastise the Leitz, the scoffer, will end up taking for himself shame. Person who attempts to give Musar to a person that's not receptive to receiving Musar, you're just looking for trouble. You will be taking for yourself koloin shame. Umochich, and he repeats himself here a second time with repetition. Umochich lirasha, one who attempts to rebuke a wicked person, mumo, it will boomerang against him, his attempt to give Musar, and it will be his own blemish. He will be injured. Okay, there's a lot of different interpretations. First, in the Mitzudas Pasuk Zayin, the Mitzudas David, Yosef, Yosef Leitz, Ratzel Leimar, Avol, Es HaLeitz, V'Es HaRasha. There are two different people in this Pasuk. There's a Leitz. A Leitz is not a person as bad as a Rasha. Or maybe he's worse. Maybe you can say he's even worse. I don't know. I mean, but generally, the way we interpret Leitz, a person that makes jokes. A scoffer. You make jokes. What's a scoffer? A person, we always mention this idea, is someone that takes something. What's the essence of a scoffer? A person who takes hold of things which are truly valuable, truly meaningful, things that are important, and he makes out of it nothing. He takes something which is choshev, Torah is choshev, it's a big joke. It's just a joke. You lighten the value of dvarim chashuvim in the eyes of people. Take anything that you like, talking during davening. You're not allowed to talk during davening. If someone makes a joke about talking during davening, that's a leitz. You're taking a dover chashuv and you are making nothing out of it. End of life. Death. Death is a very serious matter. Person leaves this world, he comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the din v'cheshbon. A person treats death as a joke. It's just another day in life, a day to make litzanis. That is called a letz. What is the opposite of a letz? We've mentioned this many times, is a mechonif, a flatterer. What is a flatterer? You take stupidity, nonsense, and you elevate. This is what is important. There's nothing more important in this world than the entertainment industry. It's choshev. We give awards. We celebrate. Okay, entertainment. Chazal tell us that comedians, they merit olam haba. They do something that no one else can do. They give people simcha. But there's a degree to how far you go. Okay, there's a degree when that becomes the arts. This is what is important. That is a form of chanufa, of flattery. There are more important things in this world than liberal arts. There are things that are important. It's okay, it's good, but you have to put everything in the proper perspective. Everything has to be priorities. These two different items, they are the opposite extremes. Leitzanis versus chanufa. I remember who taught me this? My 9th grade Rebbe taught me this concept. Leitzanis versus chanufa. You always see this theme all over. And here he's telling a person who's yoiser, who attempts, yoiser means to give mus. Now yoiser is a very, we'll discuss in a few moments in more detail, but yoiser, according to the Gra, is a very strong term. It doesn't just mean words. It means physical pain. It means punishment. It means a parent takes out a whip and he hits a child. Yosa means chastisement in the physical sense. Leitz is the person who everything in this world is a joke. If you attempt to go and punish a leitz, you're asking for it. It will boomerang against you. Loikech, loikolam, you're really taking for yourself shame. You will be shamed in what you try to do. Umochiech l'rasha, a rasha is a different type of person. A rasha is not a leitz. It's a whole different type of personality. He's an evil person. A person who enjoys causing other people pain. Person who robs, who harms, who steals, along those lines. I don't know if you ever met people, there are certain people that have a ruach of wickedness. They're very dangerous. They're most 99% of the people. Okay, they're just, you know, if they do something that causes you pain and suffering, 99% of them, they never meant it. They never really mean to cause you harm. Maybe at the time they were jealous, or they were desperate. They're desperate, they're jealous, they're in a bad mood, they're upset, so they do something which at the time is evil, very evil. It can be very evil. It could be they'll be punished for decades, who knows? But ruba de ruba, they didn't mean it didn't do it in spite. But there are people out there. You come across every once in a while, we had this in Mishnah before, they can't sleep. They actually cannot fall asleep at night unless they have done an evil deed. They have that pleasure in wickedness. So if you attempt to be moichiach, such a person, mumo, watch out. It will come back and haunt you. It will be your own blemish, this that you have attempted to give him rebuke. Get back to them, so those being sidetracked. Mm-hmm. Then we'll bring up what the Torah says. What?
Is there a difference between the word yosher and mochiach?
Yes. Yosher means to hit. Physical punishment. Mochiach means rebuke, means words. Sharp, harsh words. But no actual physical suffering. Let's see the mitzvahs. Oh, so I'm going to tell you what the Gra says in one moment. Let's first see the mitzvahs. We'll do that in a moment. In the Mitzudos Tav Yosef Leitz Ratzlam Aval as Aval as Haleitz Vesarosha Loy Echiach. Do not attempt to review Ki Hamachiach as Haleitz. A person that attempts to Machiach Haleitz Lokech Leatzma Kolon, he will take for himself shame. Ki Yisloit Seit Spo Viyiva Zehu, because the Leitz will make Leitzonis at the person who is attempting to strain him out. Viva Zehu, and will disgrace him. Vehamachiach LeRasha, same thing. Person attempts to rebuke a Rasha. Maybe mum alatzmo will bring a mum upon himself. Kiyashiv lo af. Kiyashiv lo. The yash kiyashiv lo. I'm not sure if the word af is part of that sentence. Kiyashiv lo. He will fight back. Af ato kamoni. The yifkoim bichvodo, the person that you're trying to give musa will fight back and will injure the honor of the one that is attempting to give him musa. Will azeh ainli esik imohem, and therefore Shlomo concludes, stay far away, steer away. Rashi pasuk zayin says umochiach l'rasha mumo mum hu l'mochiach. The blemish will come back to the mochiach, to the one that's giving rebuke. Shezeh mecharfeu, because the recipient of the musa will curse him. The enoy shomea lo, and will not listen. Zuhi ashora she'osa ledaber im ha-mesitim. This pasuk is the source of the prohibition to speak to the mesitim, the people who attempt to incite, entice miderech ha-yashara, to go off the people that attempt to lead tzadikim off the derech ha-yashar, afilu lehechicham, even to rebuke them, ulukarvam, and to bring them close. So this pasuk is telling us, stay far away, do not engage with people who are wicked and with people who are late sonim. The result will not be good for anyone. Okay, now let's first discuss the Gra. The Gra you touched upon, Mr. Rappaport, you touched upon the Gra. The Gra says, he asked the following question. The Rasha is a person who does evil deeds. The Leitz simply does not do an evil deed. He's a critic. You can't go. You live in a country with this free freedom of speech. There's nothing you can do to him. It's a free country. I can say what I want. I have not committed a crime. A Rosh is a person who commits crimes. Him you can lock up. Him you can punish. You can bring upon him suffering. But a Leitz is a person who just is critical, who makes jokes. There's nothing you can do. So you would expect that the words of the pasuk should be in reverse. You would expect, the Gra says, that it should say, Mechiach l'leitz l'keach l'kolayin, and yoser l'rasha mumo. Because to the Leitz, the only thing you can do is give him musar. You speak evil, I am rebuking you, don't talk like that. And to the Rasha, who actually does evil, does bring harm to this world, him you have the right to actually yoser, physically to punish. So the Gra says the reason why it's in reverse is exactly to bring out this point, to bring out a point that enochinami, to a Leitz, you can give musar. Okay, it's an interesting idea. Just don't go too far. Now the Gra doesn't say, I might be stretching the Gra a little bit more than actually what it says there, but I think this is what the Gra, the natural conclusion of the Gra. A Leitz is a person who makes litzonis. You can engage him. Why are you mocking something which is chashev? You can go and be moichia chaleitz. That's right. That is correct. But
the Gemara in hurry.
Yeah.
Darshin's ohu da'ilah. You have a right to be hocheach tochiach es hamisecha is only under the circumstances when you have a reasonable assurance that it will pay attention.
Pay attention, right.
And the Kotzko Rebbe says he says better a Russia who knows he's a Russia than a tzaddik
who thinks he's
a tzaddik.
He's saying you don't give musar to a Russia.
No, it all depends. See, that's the idea. A late by giving yoiser
situation.
By giving a person too much punishment to a Leitz has not crossed the line. I mean, I shouldn't say he's not crossed the line, but he has not done anything harmful. He made a joke. He said a nasty joke. he comes into shul, he's not politically correct. So how does the teacher or the rav or the politician want to react? You're criticizing me? I'm going to close all the lanes. There's going to be a lot of traffic. You want to criticize me for all the good things I've done to you? That's it. You're going to send traffic for 10 hours. That is going too far. That is called yoser. Yoser means pain and suffering. You're causing a person. For what? What did I do? Oh, what, we put out some negative advertisements about you. We say that you're overweight, things like that. Is that a proper response? That's not a proper response. That is you're going too far. You're going too far. You're going to pay the price. You know what the end is going to be? There's going to be
what
it's going to be. Lekeach lekolain. You'll be the one in the news, and you'll never be able to shake off the shame for your actions.
The person will be a martyr,
right?
And you'll be
because you went too far. You went too far. However, now here is something which is unexpected, which this is the result according to the Gra. If you have a person who's actually a Rasha, an evil person, a person who has actually done a crime, like this is subject to interpretation, don't say a word to him. Don't be mochiach him. Just punish him. Now when it says over here, umochiach, it means rebuke. The judge, you've done the crime, okay, you've done the crime, you'll sit in jail. You'll sit in jail for 5 years. You serve your time. The judge shouldn't try to be a tzaddik at the time of his sentencing to give a long 2-hour drasha about ethics and morals. It's not about ethics and morals. You did a crime. You want to know about ethics for the next 5 years. You'll reflect upon your crime. You'll sit behind bars. You'll think about it. The judge doesn't need to go, as you hear very often, when judges, they sentence criminals, they use it as an opportunity to talk to the world and tell them about and give the world mussar and ethics, morals. That's not your role. Your role is, this man is a Rasha. He has committed a crime. There are laws in place. Give him what he deserves. Don't go and tell the world about your ideas.
But sometimes the judge has discretion on sentencing. It go the other way too.
Okay.
Right into the judge.
Yeah, all
right.
You're right. Everything has to be balanced. We all know that. There's no black and white. Everything is gray. But this is a general approach. Shlomo HaMelech is giving us a very, you look at the pasuk at the face value. Okay, this simple, this is a very simple statement. Don't go, stay away from Mushan. Don't engage evil people. Don't have anything to do with them. From the late, from the Russia, he uses words that these are just poetic words. It's very simple. But on a much deeper level, there are some very deep ideas being expressed here. When you're dealing with the late, he has not done anything. He has just spoken words which are not politically correct. Punish him. Rebuke him. Engage him. But don't overdo it. Don't go to the level of Yoiser. When it comes to the Russia who deserves punishment, punish him. That's right. Punish him, because you have the legal right to punish him. But don't give him Musar, because Musar is not going to work in this instance. It's a very, very deep, profound idea that comes from this Gra. Okay, now let's go to the next pasuk. Before we go further, there is one other very powerful Pesichta de Eicha Rabbas, de Eicha Rabba. You hear this idea is an interesting idea. A person should not accept in his yeshiva talmidim who are evil. Why? What is the besikta the Eicha Rabba get this from? Because the word yoser, this is a tesvav al pi eitz yosef. The parish is adding to when my parish. The way he elaborates is based upon the parish. So it could be it's not obvious in the besikta, in the way he's subject to interpretation. But the idea he brings is that the word yoser is a code word for teaching Torah. Okay, on a very simple level, until now, when we discussed the Bensudos and the Gra and with Rashi, Yoser just means to take a stick and beat him up, take off his strap.
There's a difference between Yisurim and Musar.
Musar. Shma b'ni Musar avichav yalti tosh tarasi mecha. So sometimes in Nach, the word Musar Yoser is a code for Talmud Torah, because Torah is the ultimate Musar. Again, until now, Mesorah and heritage, it all comes from the same expression, the same idea. But here we're taking, over here, we're taking the word to be very, limiting the meaning of the word to Talmud Torah. If you are a Rebbe, and you have a student, and the student is problematic, the student has leanings towards a hashkafa that is not in line with his Rebbe, you're asking for trouble. You'll take the student in, you think you're going to bring him over to your side, not necessarily. He'll use everything that you have taught him to fight against you. He'll sit by you, he'll learn all the secrets, and then he'll be released to the wide world, and from there he will use everything he knows to create trouble for the Rebbe. Yoser Leitz, if you attempt to teach Torah to the Leitz, the Rebbe is doing nothing more than making problems for himself. Lokech le kolon. Or Mechich le Rasha, you try to give rebuke to a Rasha. Mumo Mechich also refers, I'll read you over the words of the Psal, read you what it says here in this Pesichta. Omar Rebbe Yitzchak, Kol Hamamid Talmud Rasha, if you take yourself a student that is evil, the end is you're going to be mevaze yourself. What now he is in the parish, what's the Yose? Yose means Torah, because Torah is Shema B'Dibus Ravicha. And the Gemara, he just elaborates on this idea. Indeed,
yeah, that student will be labeled as your product. And when his deviance becomes known, it will reflect poorly on you.
Well, that's all subject to interpretation. What? Why not? What's the problem? Well, I mean, the makar for this is the Erev Rav, and the yeshiva is not very proud that we have produced such a Talmud. Well, what's the makar for this? The makar for this is Moshe Rabbeinu with the Erev Rav, and there is so much discussion among the commentators. Did Moshe Rabbeinu do the right thing by accepting the Erev Rav? Many commentators tell us all the problems that we had in the desert with the Egel and with the Meraglim, the Misloinenim. Everything really started with the Erev Rav. Moshe Rabbeinu had the ability, in the very beginning when they left, who was the Erev Rav? According to many commentators, these were Gerim. These were Egyptians, who were non-Jews, who wanted to convert. And Moshe Rabbeinu at that point had the option, it was within his power, to reject them. Chazal tells us there's a time that we're not Makabal Gerim, La'asalava, when Klal Yisrael is in a very high position, you're not supposed to accept Gerim, because it's clear they're only joining Klal Yisrael because they want to enjoy the benefits. And it's not fair, and they're not ready. And being that they're not ready, at a later point in time, their influence is going to cause harm. Chazal called Gerim a sapachas. Now that's subject to interpretation. According to some interpretation, that means it's a very great high level of praise, that they are extremely sincere, and they cause us to look, but they cause the people who are from birth to look bad. Look at this person, he has joined Klal Yisrael, look at what a tzaddik he is, how come we can't reach his level? But on the other hand, Chazal also tells us that at times that expression sapachas means that if they are not ready, they are not 100% commitment, they come to Klal Yisrael, then they will influence the other members of Klal Yisrael in a bad way. And this is the big debate. If you're following the news, there's been not recently, but like a couple of months ago, there was a very big discussion in all the papers about no child can be left behind in the Orthodox Jewish world. And there's a problem with getting children into, there are not enough schools in certain communities for every single child. And many yeshivas are very selective. And the question, the debate is, are they allowed to be selective? If a child needs to get into the yeshiva, so the yeshiva has to take them. They live in the community. Every yeshiva is not just a private institution. If you create a yeshiva, it automatically means that you're a public institution. You have an obligation. You have a duty. You have a duty to the community. And the response is, so sometimes it's a matter of money, and sometimes it's a matter that these children do not share the hashkafa of the majority of our students who we're catering to, and they will have a bad influence. And this is a major, major debate. And here you see such an expression, this pasuk, that it's not always correct. If you take a child who's a late, late doesn't have to mean that he makes litzanis. Late just means, I don't hold from your hashkaf in life. I'm not a sat mechasset. I don't view. But I happen to be in this community, and this is the only school that I can go to, the local school, so I want to go here for the services. But when you're going to be here in this institution, your hashkafa is not going to blend well with the student body. So here it says, if you're going to accept the student, you can argue, loy keach, loy kolon, you're making for yourself trouble. Yeah.
I don't think you
can't generalize.
Children.
What?
I don't think this refers to children at all.
Sure it does, yeah.
No, the late is somebody whose attitudes are much more formed. Than a child.
Okay, but you know, a late doesn't have to be a person who's openly a late. A late is, I just don't hold from you. How often do we go?
Children
do we?
Don't really have a fully formed.
It's not the child; it's the parents. It's the home. The home over a period of time. When you have parents, or good tzaddikim. It's not everyone is a fit. It's not. This is not my hashkafa. Parents are tzaddikim. From the Lamed Vav Tzadikim, but they're ayin panim l'Torah. Not everyone gets along with each other.
We have to agree.
Respectfully disagree. We have to agree to disagree. Okay. There is no solution. You go read the newspapers. And no one has an answer to these crap. No one has an answer.
There was a school that doesn't want to do its job.
Well, there's a lot been written. Read all the response, all the criticism, and all the principles, and they all respond. And when the day is over, you walk away from. I read some of these articles. You walk away. Everyone has a very solid argument. What
they do? Most of the issue is pre-screened. No television. No this. What are you daven? What do
your
other children learn?
Okay, there, of course, everyone agrees there are scandals. Everyone agrees there are mistakes that are made. There's no question about it. But generally...
But should they do it to the extent of excluding...
That child.
And even that's not a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, whatever it is, it is.
They
just
that child.
But you do see here such an idea. Such an idea. Yosef, Leitz, Lekech, Lekolom... Although you can't generalize.
No, but right. Literally everybody.
Laurie's side was different. You can't generalize. The times.
Kicked out of anybody.
The times are different. We're not. 50 years ago was a different story. A child was not taken into yeshiva, so where is he going to be on the street in public school? Today, if he's not going to be taken into this yeshiva, he'll go to another yeshiva. Now that yeshiva, another yeshiva, he'll find a place for himself. It's a different. You can't generalize. What?
No, I read a story by Chaim Levitz in Hanover that there was a rumor that a certain boy was reading a novel that was not appropriate.
Yeah.
They came to him and they wanted to kick this boy out. And he made an assembly and he got up and someone was on the Rosh Yeshiva. And he checked it out and he said, no boy kicked out of this yeshiva.
Okay, you can't generalize. Every situation is different. Every yeshiva is different. Every community is different. And every time period in history is different. Can't generalize. Everything, that's how it is. Okay, let's go to the next.
You know, like when you have the car with the insurance, they have assigned risk. If you can't get into an insurance company, they force the insurance companies... To take the high-risk people. So, in liquid, if you don't get into a yeshiva at the end of the selection period, they just force the yeshiva.
Well, that's a new thing. That's a new thing they instituted last year. I think last year, this year, because it was getting out of hand. It was a problem. And then the rules are always changing. I mean, everything, okay, you have to go back and read some of the magazines. So all the articles, the two sides, the interview I read in, I don't remember which magazine I read, they interviewed the principals of some of the biggest schools, and they said what the problems are, and they said all the different issues that they have, and all the principals basically say we don't really have a solution. We have to be good to the majority of the class. if the majority, the parents of the majority of the class don't want another child to influence their children, so to some degree they have to respect that.
What do they do when they grow up?
I don't know. Like I told you, every story.
I have no idea how many at-risk kids there are in Lakewood.
Okay. Okay.
This is why.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're being too. You're going too far. You don't know. Look, I know from personal experience. When I was in high school, I know of a certain situation where there was one person with a very good family, and he really took with he went off. He went off way off. I didn't go off derech. He went way off from what was accepted, the standards. And he took with him. He took with him a few people. Okay, he took with him a few people. And really, it really woke up. It really changed. It really changed the thinking of the administration. Until that point in time, it was, everyone here is accepted. What could go wrong here? And then when you have a bad experience, and it just takes one bad experience, that all of a sudden, listen, I'm telling you, one guy from the best family.
But it's in every school.
Every school. So where do you draw the line? When you are involved in a bad story, one situation, it ruins it for everyone. I know a psychologist. He told me he was called into a school. He was called into a school for a situation. You wouldn't believe. He started describing me, just being miramis to me, what was going on. Okay, you would not believe what he was telling me. I didn't believe what he was telling me, and he didn't believe what he was telling me. And he says when he finished this whole, this person accepted to be a psychologist. He's known throughout the world, and he told me when this whole thing was over, he needed a psychologist.
Okay, so what do they expect? A perfect record of success?
So when that happens, so if you're a parent in the school, if you're a parent in that class, and you hear what's going on in that class, so how are you going to naturally react? You're going to go to the extreme. And you're going to say to the principal, if you don't straighten this out, then I'm taking my kid out.
That's the difference between
and then the principal,
leadership and ordinary leadership.
And then the principal is stuck in between. So how do you balance the two? All right, I'm not listen. All right, whatever it is, it is.
Yeah. Money.
Who's going to pay? Who's going to pay? The people that paid the rebbeim haven't been paid in a month. So who's going to now for extra resources? It gets more and more complex by the day. You can't imagine how complex things are. You got to be in the system. You got to see it from the inside to realize what a nightmare it is. And then when we stand from the outside and we second guess and we criticize, it's not right. When you're on the inside and you see what goes on from the inside, it's not so easy. What? Some do, some don't. Government programs. If there's money. I mean, today there are therapists and there's special ed and there's this, there's that. If you're in a good school, it's well funded, then you have everything available.
They would teach them trades.
Okay, let's go to the next pas. The next pas is Al Techach Lelates Pen. One of the quick thing, the Gemara also says that this pasuk refers to Yirmiyah. The Pesichta the Eich Rabba darshins this pasuk specifically in regard to Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah's generation was a generation of Leitzonis. If you remember, if you learn Yirmiyah, they tortured him. When Yirmiyah gave Musa to his generation, they literally beat him up. They threw him into a dungeon. They plucked out the hair on his beard. Can you imagine that? Today you don't hear about such stories. They take the Rabbanim and they warn them that if you give us Musa, what?
The Nazis.
So we're talking about the Balabatim and the Shul. We're not talking about the Nazis. Yimach Shemam. The Balabatim and the Shul, when the rabbi gave a drasha and the Balabatim did not like what the rabbi said, they tied him up, they threw him into a dungeon, and they tortured him by pulling out the hairs from his beard. That's what it says in the pasuk. It says that in the pasuk. You hear me? It says that's what they do to me. So the Gemara says, Yoser, the Gemara Darsh, Yoser, Ze Yirmiyah. who, what did he do? He gave leitz. He gave mussar to his generation litzanim. And what was the result for Yirmiyah? Loikeach loikoloin. They tortured him. They tortured him. And mumo also means that they beat him up. They physically abused him for his mussar.
It's a shehoyu mekalalin oso. That's a play on kolon.
And they actually physically abused him. You know, in the beginning of the 20, in the, here in the United States, in the mid 20th century, La Rabbanim, when they started trying to reform the kashrus, so they were abused. They were anyone that tried to change the current status, the status quo of kashrus and yadus. So many people were not happy and. They were physically abused and threatened and they suffered. One of the big Gedolei Yeshiva was locked up in a refrigerator, in a meat freezer. I forgot who was that. One of the big Gedolei Yeshiva was Mashkiach. He went and they locked him up in a meat freezer, and by some miracle, someone just happened to be there, and he knocked on the door and they opened up the freezer for him, but he would have been killed. Why? Because he was too tough. I don't remember who it was. Our Soloveitchik, he had a lot of tsaras. They accused him. They accused him, and there was a court case, and they caused him a tremendous amount of agmas nefesh because of his standards in kashrus. So that's what it means over here. Yoiser leitz loikeach loikolayn umachiach larosha mumo. Unfortunately, when you try too hard, then you're asking for trouble. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk ches. Al toichach leitz pen. This idea, we continue with this idea. Al toichach leitz pen yisno eka. Do not give rebuke to the leitz, but he may come to hate you. It's more than just. It's more than just. You're taking for yourself cologne. You also going to acquire an enemy for life. However, if you give musa to a wise man, he will come to love you. Look at the mitzudas pasukes pen yisno eka ki hu chacham beinav v'darko yashol lefonav. A late thinks that he is the chacham. You're telling me that I'm evil. I'm not evil. I'm the chacham. You're the evil man. You are the rasha. You are the leitz. How dare you give me mussar? You're the one who needs mussar. You're criticizing my lifestyle. I can show you there are a million things with the way you live. You hear this all the time. Ki chacham be'enav v'darko yasha l'fanav, the person you're giving mussar thinks that they are better. They have
similar idea to vayehi b'mei shavot hashav kim.
They judge their judge. What was the response when they would tell? When a judge would tell one of the members of the community, take out a thorn between your eyes. So the response was, you take the beam out of your head. You think we have just a little thorn in our eyes? You have a beam in your head. You're sick. You have the real problems. However, a chacham, he wants to perfect himself, and he wants to learn from every single person. Is a chacham haloi made me call adam? Pasuk test in Rashi, and there is no Rashi. Okay, now there's a beautiful idea that is presented by the Shloha HaKadosh. Unbelievable idea, this Pashat idea. I saw this in the art school, Mishler by Ginsburg, and he writes that every single person here is both the Leitz and the Chacham. And in other words, what the Pasuk means to say is when you want to give Musa to a person, don't put him down. You approach a person, he needs improvement. If you say to him, you are a Leitz, you're a good for nothing, you're a scoffer, you're an empty person, and therefore let me straighten you out. Let me tell you what you need to do. If you talk like this, then yisno eka, he'll come to hate you. But if you go to that very, very same person and you say to him, I'm sorry, slicha, you are a chacham, you are a great person, I'm the nothing. But perhaps there's something here, there's an issue that we have to deal with, and maybe we can work out a solution to this problem, then v'ye'e ho'veka. The Shloh says we're not dealing here with two different people, the Leitz here and the chacham here. We're dealing with the same person. It's a matter of attitude. attitude. If you approach this person with an attitude that you are a Leitz and you need tikkun, you're in a lot of trouble. That person will come to hate you. But if you approach that very same person and build him up and tell him, you are a great person, you're a great person, maybe we can work on this problem together, he will come to love you. I'll give you a couple of examples of this idea. We have, everyone here, many people here are learning Daf Yomi, Masechta Yevamos, and soon coming to the main parakim of Chalitza. How does one do Chalitza? How does a woman do Chalitza? What does she do to her brother-in-law? She takes off his shoe, and then she spits in front of him. Why does she spit in front of him? So there are hundreds of reasons. You look in the Midrashim, you look in the Darshanim, they'll tell you all the different reasons why she spits. But basically, it's not a nice thing. It's an insult. It's a form of bizyonos. How dare you? Your brother died. He did not leave over a child. You have an opportunity to rebuild his home, to marry his widow, to have a child, to name the child after the deceased. You have an opportunity, and you're not going to take advantage of this opportunity. You are good for nothing. You're a lowlife. You're an empty person. You deserve bezionos. And the ultimate form of bezionos in the Torah is to spit. V'yaviha, we have this from Miriam. V'yaviha, yorek yorak mifaneha, halosi kolein shivas yamim. If her father would spit at her, would she not be ashamed to lock herself up in hiding for 7 days? You see from the Torah Beferish that spitting is the greatest form of bizyonos. And that's in essence what the Yavam is doing. She's being mevazeh him by spitting. She doesn't spit mamash on him, she spits in front of him. But it's the same idea. Now what about taking off shoes? Why does she, before she spits upon him, why does she take off his shoes? Well, we find in Chazal, taking off shoes is one of the services that a slave does for his master. If you want to acquire a slave, you need to make a kinyan. Go to the market, you pay money. Is that a full kinyan? It's not a full kinyan. Yeah, it's not. That's one form of kinyan. But another way, let's say you want to do a down payment. I'll pay you later. I'll pay you for the slave. You want for the slave $10,000? $1 million? According to the United States government, a human being today is worth approximately between $6 and $7 million. That's how much value they give to a newborn child. $6 to $7 million, and they need this number for statistics, for insurance purposes, for statistics. They need
cost,
value. They give a person the value. Last I've read, the person, it used to be $7 million, and they went down to $6 million, they went up a little bit. Every year they reevaluate how much is a human being in the United States of America worth to the government. How much a person is born, how much will they produce? Besides all of the benefits they're going to receive from the government, all the kickbacks. Okay, but in the big picture of things, in the country of over 300 million people, in the big picture, how much value does a person have to the government? So they give a person the value of $7 million approximately. So you have a slave. You want to buy a slave? Okay, $7 million. I don't have the money available now. But in the meantime, well, you know, we'll be on loan. How then are you going to make a kinyan? You have to make a legal acquisition in an eved. So the Gemara says the way you acquire an eved is the slave should perform a service. What is an example of a service? He takes off your shoes. You come home from work, like what a wife does.
You think so?
Throws it at you. You come home, put up our feet on the chair, on the footstool, and the wife comes and takes off your shoes and brings you dinner, and she says, Rebbe, what could I do for you? I once said in a shir many years ago, I said from the Sefer HaChassidim, this person never let me live it down. I actually see his wife pretty often now. I always bump into her on the street. I told him that it says in the Sefer HaChassidim that a wife should call her husband Rebbe. I said this, so I said a lot of strange, crazy things, right? For some reason, beyond my understanding, this is, he lit up like a Christmas tree. I don't know why, he loved this.
He appealed to him.
Why? To each his own. And he always reminds me of this, that the wife is supposed to call the husband Rebbe. So you imagine the husband comes home from a day of work, he sits down on his reclining chair, puts up his feet on the footstool, and the wife comes in and takes off his shoes and says, "What could I get the Rebbe?"
What is he called?
What?
What is he supposed to call his wife? A Talmud?
So the Gemara says, taking off shoes is a service is of avdus. If you go to the market and you want to buy a slave and you don't have any cash available, you can still acquire the slave on loan by the slave by making a kinyan chazaka in the slave. Have the slave take off your shoes. What do we learn from this piece of Gemara? Taking off shoes is the lowest form. It's a sign of slavery. Avdus. So now we understand. Now we can understand why in the process of chalitz and yibam the order is what does the woman do? This woman, the yavam, is coming here to be mevazeh. She's coming here to give this man the ultimate musr in the Torah. The ultimate musr in the Torah is to spit at someone. The avia, yoroik yorak befanecha halosi kolem shivas yamim. This is the ultimate, the spitz of musr, to spit at someone. And here this woman is going to spit at her brother-in-law. You're a good for nothing. You don't want to be mekayem the mitzvah of being boneh the Beis Achiv. But before she gives him musr, she says to him, "I'm only giving you musr for l'toelas, for your benefit. It's nothing personal. It's not because I don't hold from you. I'm giving you musr because you need the musr, not because I hate you." And the way she shows this is, first, let me be mechabed you. Let me give you the ultimate kavod. Let me take off your shoes. Let me do for you something that only a slave does for his master. To show, I hold the world from you. In my eyes, you're my master. You're my Rebbe. You're the greatest creature in this world. Unfortunately, you're doing something that's not proper. You don't want to do a mitzvah, and therefore you deserve to get it over your head. I have to do this to you, but it's nothing personal. Hashem wants me to give you this musr. So she's first mechabed him, and then she is mevazeh him. That's exactly what it says here. If you go and you give a person musr with an attitude, you're elate, you're good for nothing, and that's how I'm going to give you musr, watch out. You're asking for trouble, the person will come to hate you. But if you come and you give the person musr with an attitude, "I love you, I respect you, I hold from you, but we have a problem, we have to find a solution." You talk to that very same person as a chacham, "I give musr as a chacham," then the yehevah heka, he will come to love you. This is the vart from the Shlah. My Menahel, Rabbi Chaim Siegel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, they're putting out a book about him very, very soon. Within a few weeks, it's supposed to come out. Putting out a book about Talmidim wrote in stories and reminiscing. And he was very successful. There's no question about it. He was a very successful mechanech. And one of his major yisoides that he used in high school, it doesn't work for every type of clientele, but he felt that a high school boy can go both ways. Can be a baby. High school boy 14, 15 years old, can be a baby, a natural baby, and a 14, 15 year old boy can be an adult, a mature adult. It all depends how you treat them. If you treat a high school boy like an adult, he'll behave like an adult. He'll grow into a better, a more mature adult. If you'll treat a high school boy like a baby, and you'll punish him, and you'll talk down to him, he'll be a baby. And I've seen this in another high school, where they treat the high school boys like babies. They talk to them like babies, they punish them like babies, they reward them like babies, everything, and they behave like babies. And he felt that a boy who's 14, 15 years old, especially in today's day and age, that's the way they are. They're babies. So they're babies. So you treat them like babies. His hashkafa, his approach was, don't. Pick them up. Talk to a 14-year-old boy the same way you talk to a 25-year-old adult. And if you'll talk to a 14-year-old boy like a 25 with the same respect and dignity and honor, it will memela bring him up. It's not so easy. It sounds a lot easier. It sounds a lot easier than it sounds when you sit in the classroom with them and they're behaving like babies and to treat them like adults. It sounds very easy on paper. Go into a classroom and try. You'll see it's not so easy. But he worked on this idea, and he worked on it, and this is how he trained his staff to treat his Talmidim. And I remember looking back in high school, that's exactly the way it was. It was like a very, they attempted to treat us in a very mature way, to a certain degree, and it worked to a certain degree. It definitely worked. And I didn't appreciate that it worked until many years later, I participated in a different environment, in a different part-time. I was in another type of school, where they had the same age high school boys, and they had very chashur rabbeim and rabbanim, and the whole approach was just the opposite. It was like, these kids are a bunch of babies. They're a bunch of babies. We're going to treat them like babies. We're going to punish them like babies. The incentives we're going to give them that they should do well, they should perform well, will be the same way you just glorified a seventh grader. The same way you go, you give a tangy taffy to a sixth grader to incentivize him to learn. So we'll give him a little bit more. We'll give him $5, $10. It was a babyish approach, and I saw the difference. You have to appreciate it's a lot harder. It takes a lot more work. It's a lot more work to treat someone who's really a baby or someone that's in between like an adult. But that's really what the Shloah says. The Shloah says, you'll get what you put in. You treat a person like a leitz, he's not going to come out doing well. He's going to come to hate you, but if you give him musa like an adult, then he will indeed come to love you. Okay, now there's a lot of gemaras and midrash. Let's just run through some of them very quickly. First is a very well-known Gemara in Masech Yevamos. You will come into this Gemara in Daf Yomi very soon. Omar Daf Samach Hei Amid Beis. Omar Rabbi Eli. Mishum Rabbi Elazar Ben Rabbi Shimon. Kishem Shemitzvah Al Adam Lemar Davar LaNishma. The same way there's a mitzvah to tell a person something which will be listened. Kach Mitzvah Al Adam Sheloi Lemar Davar She'enoi Nishma. If you know for as a fact that the person will not be receptive to your musar, that's the source comes from this pasuk. Don't give him musar. There's a mitzvah at times not to give musar. Rabbi Abba Omer Choiva. It's not just a mitzvah. Okay, that's how far they go. It's an obligation. You have no right to give musar. Shenemar. The Gemara Yevamos quotes as pasuk: Al toichach leitz pen yisno eka. Don't give musa to a leitz; he will come to hate you. Hoichach lechacham v'yeh haveka. He will come to love you. You can definitely apply this in this day and age when it comes to comments on blogs. I don't know if any of you ever read some of the more popular blogs. And the main thing about a blog is not the blog and not the comment. It's not the post, but it's the comments. The spirited blogs are. Yeah. No, I'm not talking about stupid comments. Okay, I'm not going to mention it. I'm talking about the more intellectual blogs, the posts where the comments, the people who are commenting, are intellectuals, and they have what to say. And at times there can be on a post there can be hundreds of comments, and there's a lot of give and take, and most of it is negative. Choyva, it says here, there's a choyva not to give musar. If you're giving musar, it's only going to come to provoke the other person. These comments, these long discussions, they never end well. Never. And it says here, the Gemara says, either it's a mitzvah not to post a comment, or it's a choyva not to post a comment. What are you entering into the arena of of a debate which does not end well? And Michal, you know what I'm talking about?
I once said it here, that half the people that write in comments are out of their mind, and the other half tell the first half to get a life.
Okay, that's one Maimon Chazal. Next Maimon Chazal, this pasuk is interpreted specifically in reference to Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are called the Chachamim. How do we know that? Rak Am Chacham V'Novon Hagoy HaGadol Hazeh. Klal Yisrael is called the nation that is wise. Chacham Chacham v'Navon. Who is Moshe? Moshe was the one who gave Musar. Moshe Eile Hadrama Shadiba Moshe Al Bnei Shal Beva Hayardein. Moshe Rabbeinu in Chumash Tavarim. The entire Chumash Tavarim is one long tirade. It's one long Musar Shmuz. Who is he giving Musar to? The Klal Yisrael. What gives Moshe Rabbeinu the right to write a Chumash Sefer Devarim to give Musar? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was fulfilling what it says in this Pasuk, where it says, Hochach Lichacham V'ye'eh Hoveka. Beautiful Medrash. That Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Klal Yisrael is a nation that is wise, and Moshe Rabbeinu giving them Musar, then Klal Yisrael would come to love Moshe Rabbeinu, which is true. Moshe Emes v'Terasa Emes, the end of Chumash Dvarim, Vayivku Kol B'nei Yisrael, the entire Klal Yisrael, Kol, Vayivku B'nei Yisrael, they cried for, by Aaron it says Kol, they cried for Klal Yisrael, they came to love Moshe Rabbeinu despite the Musar he gave them throughout Chumash Dvarim, because it was given to a nation that is a wise nation. What?
At least after death they loved him.
After death they loved him?
Yeah, I mean, they gave him a pretty rough time while he was around.
Okay, yeah, with Yaakov as well, Yaakov and his children. Okay, another Gemara, this is a Gemara, yeah?
I never understood one part of Moshe Rabbeinu's comment. There was a point where he tells him, I forgot what the conscience said, I know that you're going to sin after you go, and you're going to go after other gods, and blah, 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 blah.
So,
yeah. I never understood it, because here he's trying, if that's true that they love him, here, it's like I'm telling you, you're going to be a sinner, Mr. So-and-so. I'm trying to get you to turn off. I know you're going to sin, you're going to go this and all that. So. What?
What's the purpose?
The purpose
is that even after they do sin, they should know they could still come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's planting in their minds the possibility to do tshuva. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I know, Ruach HaKodesh, you're weak. You're weak people, you're not going to be able to be omed in the nisyonos that are in front of you. But don't give up. You should remember, even if you're nichshol in Avera, you can still remember my words of Musar, and they will give you the power to return to HaKodesh Baruch Hu.
So it wasn't like,
hey,
I'm giving it to you.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Moshe Rabbeinu is basically preparing them. The Gemara says that you go, you take a child into you put a child in front of, in a candy room, right? And you the nisyonos will be for Klal Yisrael overwhelming, and they will be nichshol. But Moshe Rabbeinu is still preparing them to do tshuva after they fail. Okay, let's go to another quick medrash.
Why it says after that
passage,
it says Shach Goes Hashem Lokech, and that's what it says. Yeah.
Then you will return after you sin. There is still hope. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. This is an important medrash Beresh Rabba. It says Omar Rabbi Yosef Chanina Teichacha Mevil Deitahava. Okay, and it goes on to say a very powerful idea. Zeu daite de Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina de Yomar kol ahava she'ein imo toichocha eino ahava. Pure love does not exist if you're not willing to give Musa. Is that what it's called? I don't know. Is that what it's called? Ahava without toichocha is not love.
Unconditional
love is not love. That's what it says. This is a principle in Chinuch. If you read the magazines, this is just show children unconditional love. That's one of the approaches that is advocated by professionals. That's what it means. But right, that's what, there's no such pure unconditional love. It says here toichacha. This is a shita of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. Kol ahava she'ein ima toichacha. If it's purely unconditional, purely unlimited, you can do whatever you want. That's not called love. Kol toichacha she'ein ima kol ahava she'ein ima toichacha ein ahava. There has to be a line.
The example is
Amnon. What? No, that's ahava she'tluya bedavar. That's a whole different idea. That's an ahava she'tluya bedavar. You only loved her because. No, that's different. That's different.
He was never
rebuked. That's what they say. Well, how did Avshalom? That's another idea. How did Avshalom go off the derech and want to kill his own father? He was too good. That David never gave him Musa.
So
that's a different idea, because it could very well be that Avshalom did nothing wrong. So there's another idea that even if you do nothing wrong, you still have to You're right. Maybe it ties into this. Okay, but it's okay. Yeah.
If you're in your family, immediate family, one of your children is not what you want, they don't know if they're there, call what you want. The allowing of that child to stay in the home.
You cannot generalize. This is such.
I've read the
right.
Dates on both sides.
Yeah, but whatever you're reading, it's very good. These are ideas, are concepts. Like everything we're going to go over here, but there's no way in the world you can have a cookie cutter, one size fits all. Every situation is completely different. There's nothing like it's dvarm shutim. There's nothing to talk about. But there is such a concept, just to be aware that there is Rabbi Yossi, that the extreme ahava she'eini matei chacha, he says ein ahava. Where does it come from? It comes from this pasuk. This pasuk says that hoychach lechacham v'yeh haverka. If you really want true love means there's going to be musar. There's no pain, no gain. That's how it is. This is one lesson from this pasuk. Okay, let's go to one other idea. Okay, this is just a historical idea. I don't really know the details, but the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Akiva. Oyamru, this is Gemara Masecht Aruch and Oyamru. Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Mei ani alai Shmai Meretz. I swear by the heavens. Shaharbi pamim loka Akiva al yadi. Rabbi Akiva many times suffered because of me. What does that mean? Shehayisi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, I would speak Lashon Hara. Would you believe this? Shehayisi, Koiv, Olav Lufnei Rabbi Gamliel. Now we have three different, you have to know the personalities, you have to know the history, the background, which I do not know, but it appears that Rabbi Gamliel was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva, one of his teachers. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was a colleague, or was a Talmud Chaver. Maybe it was a Rebbe Chaver, I'm not exactly sure. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would often go to Rabban Gamliel and would tell Rabban Gamliel Lashon Hara about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, do you know what he did? He woke up late for davening. He came 5 minutes late to davening. So what did Rabban Gamliel do? He beat the living daylights out of Rabbi Akiva. For who hilko v'kol shaked? So you would think that Rabbi Akiva, when they got older, Rabbi Akiva always wanted to take revenge. Rabbi Akiva started out when he was 40 years old, so I don't know exactly what it means he got older, but when they got later in life, you would think that Rabbi Akiva would want to take revenge against Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was responsible for his suffering, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri reported to Rabbi Gamliel, and we would punish Rabbi Akiva. So you would think, so he goes on to say here, the kol shekein, that's why he loved me. That's why I had the most unbelievable relationship with my good friend Rabbi Akiva. It's only because I told Rabbi Gamliel Lashon Hara, and Rabbi Gamliel punished him and straightened him out. And Rabbi Akiva, for the rest of his life, was grateful to me for being instrumental in being straightened out by the Rabbi. For kol shekein shechosev bi Rabbi Akiva ahava. An amazing Gemara. I know my grandfather. What? Arochin daftes zayin amibes. Okay, arochin daftes zayin. I know someone told them that there's certain. I don't remember all the names of the Rosh Hashiva. Maybe it was Rabbi Chesed Levenstein. It could be with someone else. There was certain mashkiach. This is a known fact in Europe. Europe in different yeshivas, the mashkiach, today, we don't really have today many yeshivas a real mashkiach. Real mashkiach was like Rabbi Chesed Levenstein, was like Rabbi Ruchon Levavitz. These were people that, you know, you would come into a room and they would give a shmooze. And it was common that when the Talmidim would come into a shmooze, the Rebbeim, the mashkiach would say over sins that were committed in private, and no one knew for the life of them how the mashkiach knew about this. Someone did something in the dormitory, whatever happened, and there was a musa shmus, our musa shmus, where the mashkiach gave musa, how could a bacher do something like this? And the bacher, that one bacher, was stunned, how in the world? And they really believed, this going a little bit too far, they really believed that the mashkiach, no, had Ruach HaKodesh. And the Talmidim will tell you, Ad HaYom HaZeh, a lot of these Talmidim are not living anymore, will tell you, Ad HaYom HaZeh, the mashkiach, about different mashkichim, than Ruach HaKodesh. But I know for a fact that my grandfather was one of the informers in the yeshiva. He was very close. I don't remember all the names of one of the big mashkichim. And the mashkiach would ask my grandfather, tell me about the sins that are the boys. Tell me about all of the... Tell me, what's going on here? What? No, they didn't know. They didn't know. They didn't know. And my grandfather secretly...
He mentioned names. He just said what they...
Secretly was a spy. He was a spy, and he told the mashkiach that this happened and this happened, and no one had any clue. No one had any clue that my grandfather was secretly a spy revealing to the mashkiach what was going on. And the mashkiach would give shmuzim, mussar, to the boys. This is not a derech in life. And you have this, where does this come from? So right away, how can you do it? It's lashon hara, lashon hara, so on and so forth. Okay, but if it's a little LS, then the Chafetz Chaim says there's no lashon hara. And really, it comes from this Gemara.
He didn't say who was doing it.
What?
Going on.
You don't know, you don't know the details. You don't know how far it went. Okay, I don't know how far it went. I'm sure you can, I'm sure you can find stories where the Talmud, the people involved will tell you that you're going a little too far, right? It's subject to, it depends. You know, it depends on which side of the aisle you stand on. If you're the one who they're talking about and the other Talmidim are listening, and that's not very pleasant. But the truth is, this idea comes from this Gemara in Masechta Arochin. This whole idea comes from Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri said that at the time I was a spy. I was a spy, and I told the Rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel, about all of the sins of my friend Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva suffered very much because of that. Because of this. Yet, because Rabbi Akiva is a chacham, he was not a late. Later in life, he came to appreciate that it was for his benefit, it was for his good, and it was fulfilled in Rabbi Akiva, this pasuk of, Hoychach lechacham, v'ye'ehoveka, and he will come to love you. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri said, I did not lose out because of what I have done. It was only done l'shem shamayim. What?
The example you gave about your grandpa, it's a little bit different than...
Every case is to be... I don't know.
I don't know.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't a student. He was like a rebbe. He wasn't at the same level with the Talmidim when he spied on them. He was somewhere in between. Right, exactly. Something like that, exactly.